Checking in with the Director of Traffic, Parking, Alarm, and Lighting, TPAL, here in the city of Quincy, Chris Cassani, to chat a little bit about pedestrian safety. Hey, Chris, Happy New Year.
Same to you, Joe. Great to be with you.
Yeah, appreciate it. It's a great opportunity to let folks know about an innovative and unique opportunity that they have to be more visible when they're out walking at night, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we, the last year obviously has presented everybody with a whole host of challenges and opportunities, and we've learned a lot about different ways that people navigate our roads, navigate our sidewalks, and, you know, obviously being outside has been a real respite for virtually everybody throughout all this, the pandemic. One of the terrible things that's happened, amongst all the other sad things that have happened this year, is that there's been a real marked increase nationally in fatalities and serious accidents on the roads. It's not unique to Massachusetts, but Massachusetts is no stranger. Quincy's no stranger to this. It oddly enough, you know, as much as we complain about traffic, when you have relatively congested roads, people are traveling, you know, at lower speeds. And even if they do get into an accident at a lower speed, the odds of it being very serious are much lower. Yet flip that on its head. If you're on a road that you're typically driving, let's say 25 miles an hour down because it's somewhat busy and congested, if there's nobody on it, maybe you're 45, maybe you're 50 miles per hour. And maybe you're doing it not maliciously. Certainly there's some bad actors out there that drive way too fast and are very irresponsible. But the, you know, really what we find, the great majority of people drive as fast as they think they can safely. And when there's fewer people on the road, you can go faster. So you couple that with early sunset and darkening conditions on the roads, dark clothing, distracted driving, distracted walking. Oddly enough, it's funny, if you walk around with your headphones in, you know, that ability to sort of hear something and that be the very first thing that prompts you to stop or make a different decision really goes by the wayside. So it's a pretty, there's a lot of things, a lot of behaviors that all of us, drivers, pedestrians, cyclists, very simple things that we all can do to be a lot safer. One thing though that is common throughout all of this, you know, if a vehicle is driving at night and doesn't have its headlights on, you flash them and you say, hey, you know, put your lights on. But a pedestrian who's walking around with, you know, their black winter coat and black pants, you have to cross the street. You're inevitably going to cross the street at some point. To the extent that you can be better seen, that's what we're really trying to encourage people to do. And oddly enough, there's a product that 3M sells. It's retails for less than $2 a pack that can do just that.
Yeah, it's, a great, you know, low-tech way, really, that anybody can take advantage of and make themselves more visible. We see it certainly on first responders, you know, outfits all the time, firefighters, police, EMTs, those reflective jackets that they wear, construction workers. We mentioned earlier, you know, the road signs now are all reflective. Why not make yourself reflective, right?
Oh, exactly. You know, and it's something that can be done unobtrusively, and it always works. It's one of those things that, you know, these strips will always pick up the light from an oncoming vehicle. Nothing is a silver bullet and a panacea, that sort of thing. But if you have a flyer, you know, we were talking about earlier, Joe, if you are wearing dark clothing, you know, it might be the distance from the pitcher's mound to home plate that a vehicle catches you. But if you're wearing something reflective, you're talking about over a football field away that someone could see you. What a difference. You know, I mean, if someone's traveling 30, 35 miles per hour, whatever the speed is really, you know, it's very hard to stop. And honestly, even if nothing bad happens, even if you don't have a collision, it's still, my God, my adrenaline, my heart rate's up. I mean, you're nervous. It adds this overall feeling that perhaps the roads aren't as safe as maybe the statistics show that they might be. So to the extent that being seen earlier mitigates against all that, it's, like we said, it's a very easy, very cost-effective way, and it always works. It all, like, the light from a car will always pick up these reflective strips, and you will always be seen better.
And, you know, speaking as a motorist, when I see folks using this type of equipment, it's a comfort to me. Just, okay, there's somebody there. You know, I can see them. I know how to navigate my vehicle to avoid them.
Exactly. And, you know, look, when these terrible tragedies happen, you know, obviously there's the family of a victim who has been harmed or God forbid, you know, fatalities. But, you know, on the other side of it, there's also a person who hit someone who had no intention in many cases, you know, please God, there's no drunk driver, that sort of thing. They had no intention of setting out and harming anybody when the day began. And yet that's how it goes. So it, you're right. I mean, to the extent that it helps you see them see you and avoid anything happening altogether, really, it's a godsend in many respects, if that's how people view safety. I mean, we take so many precautions nowadays to be safe in different ways. You know, this is one that I hope people will adopt. And certainly, unlike some of the things that we hope we don't have to do for much longer, this one would be one I would very much emphasize. Always do this, right? Do it in the winter, do it in the summer, do it all the time, because it's pretty easy to do. And it helps, guaranteed helps.
Now with everybody wearing face masks, you know, put it on your face mask. I'm surprised they haven't come up with reflective face masks yet.
Right.
So did the city go out and buy these, Chris?
We did. Yep. So we actually, and I can't say enough about MassDOT. So MassDOT has had a program that called Scan the Street for Wheels and Feet that they had done. We reached out to them. You know, again, we had some really serious. There's some very terrible things, you know, that happened on the roads over the last year in Quincy, a few fatalities. And we just said, how can we, beyond, you know, some of the other steps that we've taken with speed feedback signs and crossing the street with the RRFB and all that other stuff, how can we make a bigger difference? We reached out to DOT. DOT said that they had done a program just like this. But they were really excited that we reached out to them and said, hey, we want to handle this locally. Because, you know, at times when a state agency comes in, they're not as embedded in the community as we are, obviously. So they were really happy. They gave us what they had kind of left over for some of their materials. And we were able to make an additional purchase and have these out and about on the street. And what we've found, I would say, is that, you know, you could have these for sale at a retail facility. But, you know, if they're just another thing on the rack, they may not get as widely, you know, wide penetration as we'd like. Whereas if we're giving them away for free for a relatively small cost, we believe that this is just a really kind of a no-brainer to do it this way. And to the extent that we can get them into the hands of a lobby at a residential building and give them away, all the better. You know, we want to work with the schools. We want to work with everybody to see that we can make the difference. And, you know, like I said, the state did an awesome job of setting the table for us. We've kind of adapted the program a little bit. One of the taglines we're using is be seen, be safe. And it's all, you know, along the same theme of just overall best practices for safety out on the roads.
Okay, so how do folks get these?
So they're available at my office at 55 C Street in the front door in the little vestibule. They're on display over at City Hall at 1305 Hancock Street. And we kind of have an updated list that I'll share with you for some local businesses. I know I think all the dog grooming places in the city right now have them. So a great thing to put on your pet. A lot of residential places have been reached out to, some of the larger ones, and they're giving them away. So right now we bought 1,000 of them. We have, you know, 50 left that we kind of have unspoken for. My hope would be that they all get out there and get used, you know, and then as time goes by, if we need to purchase more, we're certainly happy to do it because we do think that this is a really a solid thing for everybody to do. And again, really very minimal impact. If you, I'd rather have my coat have these things on them than to say, I don't want to mess my coat up. I'd rather the convenience and the emphasis on safety is more important than, I suppose, how my coat looks, is how I look at it. So,
do you have a little example? Can we do a little show and tell here, Chris, to let folks know what they look like?
Yeah. So this is it. And
that's
believe it or not, this very simple tool, what you can do is you can, there's smaller pieces, and what you'd recommend, you know, they peel off like this, and on the back is some tape.
Oh.
What you could do, you know, perhaps put it on your collar, perhaps put some on your shoulder, perhaps put some on your wrist, perhaps put something on the bottom of your coat, maybe on your back. The goal would be to outline what a person looks like. And all of a sudden, instead of, again, being 60 feet away when they see you, from 400 feet away, up to 400 feet away, right, they can see that there's a person there. It's unmistakable, really. And if you get it, I'd encourage people to just sort of test it out. You know, if you're you and your, you know, husband, wife, whatever the case may be, just to see how incredibly bright it is from a good distance. I think, you know, that'll make a believer out of you. If you have any questions. So,
yeah, well, I mean, you know, traveling, I don't know, 35 miles an hour, to have that much extra time to, you know, make a either stop or make a move to avoid somebody, that's tremendous.
Yeah. It's funny. I tried it out with my daughter and she said, I was like, Isabel, is it really bright? She goes, it's almost too bright. That's the point, you know?
Good. That's great news. That's what you're looking for. Sure. So only 50 left though, unfortunately. Do you think?
Well, yeah, we're going to replenish the stores. Okay. So, you know, again, we spread them out pretty widely.
Yep.
And we have some here to kind of keep the DPW thing going for as long as we need to. Okay. And City Hall has a good reserve over there. So, you know, we're in decent shape on that front, but we're happy to buy more, you know, within reason, obviously, but yeah, we're happy to do this because we think it's, you know, just a good, solid, always works type of option for people.
It's good. Yeah, I mean, we know when the pandemic first hit back in the spring, I was just struck by how many people were just out walking, you know, just randomly walking that they never would do before. Not so much of an issue when it's light till 8 o'clock at night, but certainly this time of year, it's a big issue.
Yeah, you know, we have traffic control devices all over the city, and we get a lot of information on that. And it was amazing, really, at the very beginning of it. Every type of activity fell off like a stone. You know, 50% reduction in vehicle traffic. We saw 80% reductions in pedestrian traffic.
Wow.
But then as sort of April and May rolled around, you know, people were itching to get out and they were getting out in different ways. You know, we saw the Blue Hills as busy as they've ever been. You know, we saw Quincy Shore Drive and the beach being as busy as it was, even if the parking was blocked off, people were still getting over there. And really, it's been great to see in many respects. I mean, these assets and resources are there for us to use and enjoy and appreciate. And honestly, the more people appreciate these resources, the cleaner they become, the better they become, because people realize what a gem the 6,000 acre Blue Hills is and so forth. So.
Yeah, and you really get to know your neighborhood much better on foot or bike than by car. You know, you really start to notice things that you'd never seen before. You may have lived there all your life.
Exactly. Yeah, no doubt about it.
What else is your department? I noticed the big changes on Quincy Avenue. Chris, how's that working out?
So we're very pleased with the results over there. So obviously Quincy Ave sort of is the poster child, I would say, for a wide road, high speeds, scary for pedestrians, scary to the point of having, you know, a number of fatalities over the years. And again, if you hit someone going as fast as you travel on Quincy Avenue, I mean, the odds of that ending with serious injury are low. I mean, really, you get hit at that speed and it's just, the odds of a fatality are just so high. So that project, you know, our goal was to slow people down. Our goal was to introduce another place for people to cross in a place where we've had some fatalities. So what that tells us, you know, when you have a similar area plagued with that same issue, it tells us, first of all, well, we know it's dangerous, but second of all, we know people, there's a desire to go across the street there for whatever reason, you know, whether it's a bus stop, whether it's a business, whatever. So we looked at that and we said, how can we make it better? And we looked at the volumes on the road. We looked at all the different type of activity that's over there. And we said, we can make the 4-lane cross section a 3-lane cross section, leave it more or less normal at the intersection so we can store these cars. And the goal was to really to do just what I said, is to slow everybody down. We did add bike lanes where we recouped the space on either side of the road, which is, you know, a great thing to do. Like I said, though, the driving force behind that was to make that road narrower, to avoid that I'm side by side with someone going 40 on a street I shouldn't be going that fast on. So the overall impact, I think, has been really positive. You know, only time will tell, obviously, but our hope would be that there's never another fatality over there. I mean, that would be just, you couldn't have better news than that. That's our goal. And, you know, look, there's a lot of factors that go into why these things happen. But we've been very pleased with how it drives. It hasn't added really any appreciable amount of travel time to getting through that corridor, but it has certainly slowed people down. No two ways about it.
Any other roads across the city you think you have to take similar action?
We're always looking at different options. You know, Quarry Street was one that we recently went from 4 lanes down to 2. We added bike lanes on either side of the street. So again, that's sort of side by side. I'm in a really narrow lane. I'm going up a hill around a curve. You know, it never really made much sense. It never really added any value. You know, it's not like you need those lanes. You know, it's not like the I-93, if it were two lanes, you'd say, geez, you know, we're sitting in traffic for 4 hours a day. Never the case over there. So we're in Quincy. The amount of options, you know, the amount of opportunities to do what we did on Quarry Street and Quincy Ave is pretty low, you know. But we're always looking. We're always looking, you know, and anywhere you can kind of tighten things up a little bit and make people fit in their lane a little bit better. You know, if you have a 16-foot travel lane, like we did on Potts of Adams Street, for example, you know, it's like that Seinfeld episode where Kramer went from, he eliminated two lanes in the expressway and they're driving around like it's a luxury lane. It's not really a good thing. And that episode ended badly. And a lot of times it ends badly too. That's not the sort of thing that you want to have. If you need as much space as you need to drive safely, but if you give people too much, they go too fast. Yep. Always, almost always. Even the most conscientious driver will drive a little too fast if given the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, we're all human, right?
We've had a good year. I mean, Washington Street we did last year. Yep. Quarry Street we did this year. Quincy Avenue we did this year. I think I'm very pleased with how those projects have come out. And, you know, we're always advocating for more emphasis, you know, from developers, from everybody to say, hey, can we make things a little bit safer for everybody in the neighborhood?
Sure. All right. Anything else we should let folks know about right now from your world?
No. Like I said, just that I can't emphasize enough. Please, by all means, get these strips put on your clothes. You won't realize the difference because it'll just sort of happen. It'll just sort of naturally happen that you'll be seen, you'll be safer, and it's a really a positive thing.
Okay, and can they reach out to your office if they have questions?
Certainly, yeah. They can call my office, 617-376-1936. I'd be happy to chat with them. And if anybody has any ideas, we're always hearing from people about different thoughts that they have, and we're happy to investigate and look into them.
All right, good to talk to you, Chris. Thanks so much.
Likewise, Joe. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.